Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
My wife and I take yearly vacations to different places. It's our way of taking a break from regular everyday life, as well as getting to spend some quality time together. This year, we had a cabin booked in Washington State. It was far out and described online as being quiet and peaceful, away from any other places or people. Most of our life is in crowded cities, so this sounded great for us. When we flew in, we walked to a grocery store to pick up what we needed, then took a taxi out to the cabin. We didn't rent a car because we knew we'd only be there for 3 days, so we wanted to spend it just at the cabin. And if we changed our minds or needed anything else, we could always just order an Uber. The taxi ride was just over an hour from the town we landed in. Most of the drive was between huge mountain ranges and tree-covered landscape. It was really beautiful and got us both excited for our stay. Then at just about 7 p.m., we arrived at the cabin. It was completely alone in the middle of the forest. Even the driveway leading to it wasn't much more than some tire tracks in the dirt. We got out and paid the taxi, then brought our stuff inside. The cabin itself was small. There was the main floor that had the kitchen and living room, with a ladder leading up to a loft area that had the bed in it. The bed area on the loft was short, though. You literally had to crawl into the bed. Kind of like one you'd see in a tiny home. Anyway, we unpacked the groceries and made a very quick dinner since we were tired from the flight. Then we opened a bottle of wine to settle in for the night. We lit up the fireplace and chatted about how we were looking forward to the next few days. It was around 11 p.m. at this point, and as we talked, we both suddenly heard something outside. Someone was walking in the grass near the cabin. It was loud, too, like they were really close. My wife looked nervous, so I tried to put a brave face on and told her it was fine. I got up and looked out the window. It wasn't until then that I realized how dark it had gotten outside. I looked around, seeing nothing but large trees everywhere and pitch-black darkness around them. I told her I didn't see anyone, then went over to the front door and opened it, stepping onto the porch and turning on the outdoor lights. All I could really see out there was a small portion of the driveway, but I didn't see anyone there either. The forest was very calm and quiet, too. So if they were still walking around, I felt like I would have been able to hear them. I went back inside and asked my wife if she heard the footsteps anymore, but she said the sound didn't seem to fade out. It just stopped suddenly from somewhere behind the cabin. My brave act was starting to fall through, and I told her to go up to the loft and stay quiet while I figured out what was going on. I went around and checked all the windows again, not seeing anything, so I went back to the front door. I was preparing myself to go back outside when a sudden thump shook the cabin. I looked up at my wife, who was looking up at the ceiling. Someone was on the roof of the cabin. I stayed inside and called the police, going over lengthy directions on how to get to the cabin we were at. Over the course of the hour that we had to wait, we could occasionally hear a few footsteps walking across the top of the cabin. About 45 minutes into the wait, though, we heard their boots hit the ground, followed by them calmly walking away. I looked out the window once more, seeing their outline disappearing into the forest. Police took our report and gave us a ride into town, where we spent the rest of our vacation. What that person was doing, miles away from civilization, in the middle of a forest, is terrifying. Seeing as they were likely waiting for us to either go to bed or go outside, we're just thankful that we got out of there before something else could have happened. When I was 19, I worked as an Uber driver. I hadn't figured out quite what I wanted to do with my life yet, so I hadn't started college or anything. I was just doing Uber to pay my bills until I could figure it all out. This night, I was driving from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. Or that's what I was planning to do. Most other drivers weren't working around those times, and I was always more of a night person, so this was just when I liked to work. Around 11, I picked up a lady from a bar and drove 35 minutes away to drop her off at home. It was pretty much at the edge of the city, in a much more secluded and quiet area. After that, another pickup request came through from somewhere 10 minutes away. I was reluctant to accept it, because the drop-off location wasn't back toward the city, but instead further out. I still ended up accepting it, and just hoped that the next person would be going towards the city, where there would likely be more work. I pulled onto the road and started driving to the pickup spot. The road to get there was through a bunch of farmland and not much else. It was pretty empty of any other cars, too. Once I got to the last turn, it was down a thin dirt road going between a field of tall grass or wheat. At the end, I could see a farmhouse on top of a small hill. That was the location that the app said they were at. I pulled up and parked in the open grass just in front of the house. The lights were off and nobody was outside. After a few seconds, I lightly honked to let them know I was here. I had my windows rolled down, and the crops blowing around in the wind was really loud. I only say that because a sudden tap on the passenger door startled me. I hadn't thought to look back at the road I just came from, because I obviously assumed he would be coming from the house. The man leaned his head through the open window and looked at me. There was a strange moment as he held a straight face and said nothing before I spoke, asking if he was the one who ordered the Uber. His eyes moved to the back seat, looking around before he nodded and looked back at me. "Can you help me carry something out to the car?" Technically being at work, my reactive answer was sure, and assuming it was just some luggage or something. But I quickly regret answering without thinking about it. He began walking toward the house, so I got out of the car and followed loosely behind him. Once he got up to the porch, he opened the door and somewhat rushed inside without even looking back at me. As I matched his pace and got onto the porch, the wide open door showed an empty hallway with still no lights turned on, and the man was nowhere to be seen. I couldn't even hear any footsteps of him walking around. Standing there, an eerie feeling loomed over me.
"Sir?"
I called out. The house remained quiet, with no response or movement from inside. Past the doorway, it quickly fell to nearly pitch black, and with it being eerily quiet, there was no way I was going in there. I turned and ran back to my car, then drove back through the field and down to the main road, canceling the Uber. My biggest regret from that night was not saying anything. I thought since nothing happened, I had no good reason to notify the police. But every time I think back on it, there seems to be less of a chance that it wasn't something horrible. I even looked up some information on the farmhouse about a month after this happened, and all I could find was that it was last sold in the 1960s. So the man I saw almost definitely wasn't the owner. He probably didn't even live there. What was waiting for me inside that house, had I followed him in, is something I'll never know for sure. I was living with my brother at the time in a very small two-bedroom house. It was really outdated and in a bad part of town. Both of us were saving up to move out and away from there, and thankfully we were able to a few months after this happened. At the time though, I was working overnights at a hospital and my brother worked mid shifts at a grocery store. Because of this, we rarely saw each other for more than a quick hello or goodbye. It was my day off, and since I worked overnights, I usually tried to keep my sleep schedule the same. So I woke up at 8 p.m. and had breakfast, then greeted my brother as he came home from work. A couple hours later, he went to bed, and I stayed in the living room, watching Netflix and relaxing. Not too long into the show, a light beamed into the room from outside the front window, almost as if someone was pulling into our driveway. I got up and went over, looking out and seeing a car parked behind mine. Their lights were still on and blocking any view of who was inside. I didn't have much time to look though, because a sudden knock came at the front door. Of course, I was immediately aware of how odd this was, but even more so because it was pouring outside. When I looked out the front door, a man was standing in the rain just outside of the porch. I didn't know if this was the person from the car, and maybe he just got out really fast, or if there was someone else, but either way, I wasn't going to answer the door. I went back to the window and waited. A couple minutes later, the man by the porch walked up to the car, getting into the passenger seat, and then they backed out and drove away. I thought it was really weird, but that they must have had the wrong house. I sat back down and started watching my show again. I didn't even really give it much thought after that, and spent what I think was the next hour laying on the couch, but at some point, I dozed off. I wasn't asleep for long, maybe 15 to 20 minutes, because the TV was still on and only one episode had played through of the show I was watching. I paused it and sat up, taking a sip of water and trying to shake off the sleepiness. After a moment though, I realized the rain was really loud. I turned my body and looked at the front hallway. The front door was cracked open. Feeling a rush of panic, I ran over and looked at it. I knew that I'd locked it before, so the only explanation I could think of was that my brother had woken up and gone outside for some reason. Or at least that's what I was hoping it was. In the back of my head, I was thinking about the people who showed up earlier. I closed and locked the door, then called out for my brother. The house was quiet, aside from the rain hitting the roof, and my brother didn't respond. I started walking up the staircase and looked down the hallway. The door to his room was open, which was really odd if he was still sleeping. As I got closer though, I could hear what sounded like multiple people moving around in his room. Just as I got up to the doorway, a man came running out, knocking me over and continuing down the hallway. Another man followed him, running around me and down the stairs. As I hurried to my feet, My brother came out of the room and said to call the police as he chased them down the stairs. I was dazed at everything happening so suddenly, but I did as he said as I followed behind him. The two intruders ran to the side of our house and down the road, and my brother locked everything behind them. While we waited, he said they woke him up and held a knife to him to keep him from talking. He said this all happened only a minute or so before I woke up, but when they heard me coming upstairs, they got flustered and ended up just running. They never said why they were there or what they wanted. Whether it was a planned attack on us specifically isn't known, but to me it seems like they were targeting my brother in particular, but maybe they just didn't notice me on the couch. It's hard to say. Like I said though, we moved out soon after this occurred, and after that, nothing else has happened. I've owned and lived in the same house for 8 years. It's a normal family-sized home, which was relevant when I had roommates, but when they moved out and it just became me living here, I had nothing to do with the extra space. It was technically a 4-bedroom house, but I only used 2 of the bedrooms. One is my main bedroom, and one is the gaming room. The other 2 rooms were on the far end of the upstairs hallway. One had a few storage boxes in it, and the other was completely empty. After getting out of work at 9, I picked up Wendy's on the way home and pretty much went right to the game room. I was off tomorrow, so what better to do than game all night? I put my headphones on and loaded up COD, but before I had time to even load into a match, I thought I heard something that sounded like a knock at the front door. I took my headset off and listened, but not hearing anything and figuring they would have knocked again if there was someone there, I went back to my game. Probably a whole 2 hours went by, and then I heard it again. It sounded like either a knock or a door closing or something like that. But with my headphones on and with my room door closed, it was way too quiet for me to tell. I got up and opened the door, looking out into the hallway and waiting for that sound to come again. After a minute though, I went downstairs and looked out the front door. Nobody was outside my house and everything seemed normal. Having been hearing these sounds though, I obviously made sure the door was locked before going back upstairs. To be a bit more cautious, I left my room door open this time, so if it happened again, maybe I'd hear it better. I put my headset back on and continued gaming. I played through a whole round, so like 20-ish minutes. As the game ended and I leaned back in my chair, a figure rushed past the open doorway just off to the side of my view. I immediately threw my headphones off and jumped from my chair. Horrified and unsure what to do, I just stared at the doorway. I didn't get the courage to finally move for several minutes. When I looked into the hallway though, and eventually the rest of the house, nobody was there. But the front door was unlocked again. When police came and investigated, it was clear that the person had been hiding and very likely living in the empty room. I hadn't been in there for weeks or maybe even months, so all this time they could have been just on the other side of the wall from me, and I had no idea. It's really scary to think about, especially if I'd happened to confront him. There's no saying what he would have done. This happened to me just a bit over a year ago. I'm 24 and have a townhouse in the suburbs. I live alone, which for me gets really boring, so I try to have friends over whenever I can. My closest friends come a couple times a week, and sometimes even sleep over to escape their parents' houses. I didn't have any plans this night, but I had plans for the next day with my friend Sarah, who was supposed to be coming over to have a movie night. So I really was just trying to get this night over with and looking forward to the next day. I went to bed early, like 9:15. In the middle of the night, I woke up. I looked at my nightstand and saw it was 2 a.m., but the way I woke up was odd. My heart was pounding for some reason, and my brain was very alert and aware, like something was happening. I thought maybe I had just woken up from a nightmare or something, until I heard a click from downstairs. I sat up. A door slowly screeched open, and I could hear someone's footsteps entering my home. Although terrified, I thought this had to be Sarah or one of my other friends, as they all had keys to my house in case they needed somewhere to stay. I got up from my bed and walked over to the door, opening it and stepping into the hallway.
Sarah?
No one responded. I waited in the hallway for what felt like forever, but then a bright light suddenly flickered on, lighting up the whole downstairs. A second later, soft, chattering noise came from the living room. Whoever it was had turned on the TV. For a moment, I felt relief, thinking it was definitely one of my friends who had one too many drinks. I went down the stairs and into the living room, and felt my whole body turn ice cold in an instant. Some random man was sitting on my couch, looking at the TV screen. He looked maybe 50 years old, with patchy, long black hair and dirty clothes. As I stared at him in fear, he glanced over at me and showed a crooked smile, then waved his hand as if to invite me over to the couch. I turned around and sprinted right out the front door. I banged on my neighbor's door until they let me in and called the police. By the time they made it, though, he was gone. No trace of him at all. What's worse is the police didn't take it all that seriously, suggesting it was probably just some harmless homeless man wanting a place to sleep. The way I see it, everything points to otherwise. He picked the lock on my door, sat on my couch, and turned on the TV. Then the sick man smiled at me and invited me over to the couch. I think he may have been a stalker or something, and now I find it hard to even sleep at night when I'm alone, thinking that there's a chance that I'm not really alone. My friend Derek and I rent a house together. He's a pretty big partier though, and often stays out really late, or even sleeps over at others' places, so a lot of nights I have to myself. This was one of those nights where Derek was out at the club or something. So having the night alone, I brought out a couple cans of beer to our front porch and sat on the swinging bench we had set up. It was nice weather out, and with it being nearly midnight, most people were sleeping, and the neighborhood was pretty quiet. After being out for a little less than an hour, a person came walking down the street in front of the houses. He looked like a large guy, and had a sweatshirt on with a hood over his head, but something was off about the way he was walking. He was very stiff, like only his legs were moving, and his whole upper half wasn't. When he got up to the part of the road my house was in front of, he stopped and looked over at me. I waited a few seconds for him to say something, but he didn't say anything. He just stood there in the middle of the road, right in front of my house, and looked at me.
Hey buddy, you need something?
He stayed quiet for a moment, then started walking up my driveway. I stood up from the bench and yelled at him to leave, but once I realized he was getting pretty close, I hurried inside and locked the door behind me. I then watched out the peephole as the guy came right up to the door. He waited for another second before pulling out something from under his sweatshirt. It was hard to see from the small view I had, but it looked like maybe a hammer or a crowbar or something. Once I saw that, I knew what was likely about to happen. I ran upstairs and locked myself in the bedroom, dialing 911 and trying to be quiet. I could hear the wood splintering off the door downstairs as I pleaded with the operator for help. Then there was a loud thud and silence. The broken door swaying on its hinges was the only sound. I waited anxiously, only assuming that I'd hear the guy's footsteps approaching the bedroom door at any second. But seconds turned to minutes until I heard a cop car pull into my driveway. I thought about running down to the officers, but the operator suddenly told me through the phone to stay where I was and wait for the cops to get to me, so I sat back down. 30 seconds later, I hear one of the officers walking up the stairs, followed by them shouting and firing off a taser. The guy had been standing right outside the bedroom door, as if he was just waiting for me to open it. He was arrested, and apparently was very drunk, but I have no clue who he was or why he did what he did. As far as the officers have told me, the guy wouldn't even say why he was walking down the road or what he was even doing there. All I know is if I had opened that door, it would have been the last thing I ever did. I'm an only child and grew up in a small town. My parents were hardworking and often struggled to pay the bills, so they usually worked a lot of overtime or even had multiple jobs. Because of this, I was left home alone pretty frequently. I was 14 at the time, and this night both my mom and dad were working closing shifts, so I was at home by myself after school until 10 or 11. To keep myself busy, I'd usually watch TV or go for walks in the woods behind our house. After getting home from school and having a snack, I went outside and started walking along my regular path while the sun was still out. It was a 2.5-mile trail through the woods that almost never had anyone else walking on it. Strangely though, about a mile into the walk, I saw a guy on the trail up ahead. He was sitting with his back against a tree, wearing a dark blue jacket, and had a red baseball cap tilted downward, covering his eyes and most of his face. From the way he was slumped over, it almost looked like he was sleeping, so I continued walking, trying to quietly pass by him. As I got just a couple feet away though, he lifted his head and instantly locked eyes with me. His eyes were tired and red, and he had this disturbing frown, like he was upset or something. As I passed by, he started standing up, and getting a strange feeling about him, I began walking faster, basically jogging the rest of the trail and back home. I didn't see him follow me, but I locked all the doors just in case. Again, I was only 14, and even though I was used to being home alone, I still got scared pretty easily. I stayed inside and checked the windows one last time before trying to distract myself by watching TV. Only a few minutes after turning it on though, I heard a voice at the back door. I paused the TV and listened, hearing a man call out multiple times, repeating the word hello. I stood up and looked down the main hallway. That same guy with the red cap and blue jacket was standing at the back door, almost pressing his face into it as he tried to look inside. I quickly went back around the corner, but he must have saw me because he immediately stopped calling out and instead started trying to force the door open. I just froze up in the middle of the living room, listening to the door jolt back and forth against the lock. After several attempts, though, he left. I called my parents, and they called the police, but he was never found. Having been followed home and them trying to break in, though, I can only imagine what they were trying to do to me.